Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
We went camping in Mockingbird Wood. Only I came back. Part 1. My friends and I had always loved going out to the woods. It started with my friend Mark and I going out and making small bonfires and coming home late smelling like wood smoke. We started doing this in our freshman year of high school, and just kept doing it as we got older. In that time, our other friends would start accompanying us. Before long, our weekends were spent camping out in the wooden area Mark and I had found when we were just barely teens. I had found the place originally. It was a clearing about a mile and a half into the wooded area that we all nicknamed Mockingbird Wood. It had no official name, but the first time I went out there, I noticed a mockingbird, so I figured it was a fitting name for the place. The little clearing sat circled by trees with the trail heading in going over a river where a mass of large stones created a natural bridge, and another trail heading out along a cliffside that followed the river. We would go out there and set up makeshift shelters, having bonfires and even fished once or twice. The woods were a special place for me, like some sort of fantasy where my friends and I could have our own little world. All the man-made structures of civilization would disappear, and it would just be us standing in the same surroundings as our ancient ancestors. There was something magical about that, something that felt primordial and ancient. Maybe that's why we kept going back, or maybe it had to do with our own connections to each other and how that sacred place tied into them. Whatever the reason, Mockingbird Wood was special to us. When we were in our early 20s, we decided we would go out there for an overnight campout. We didn't get out as nearly as often as we used to since, life demands jobs and responsibilities. But by some miracle, six of us found the time to hike out there and have some fun. Mark and I had sold the rest of the group on the idea, which hadn't taken much pushing. My guess is they were longing for the comfortable isolation and peace that the woods would offer. Jesse was the first one I called after talking to Mark. I had a crush on her and thought this might be a good shot to make something happen with her, so I was pretty delighted when she said that she was going to be there. That delight was lessened a bit when she said that she was bringing her friend Maddie along. It's not that I don't like Maddie, but she would always draw Jesse away each time I get the courage to try to tell her how I feel. I would later find out that Mark had called our friend Martin and his girlfriend Rachel to come with. I was pretty happy to hear Martin would be there. He was the third M after all. We called him that because Mark and I also had names that started with the letter M. Mason, Mark, and Martin. The three M's. We rode up there Friday night, the mid-spring air neither cold nor hot, and the sky devoid of any clouds to obstruct the full force of the moon and stars. I couldn't have asked for a nicer evening to return to Mockingbird Wood. I was riding along with Mark, rolling a joint for us to smoke on our way up there, when we saw Martin and Rachel on the road behind us. As Martin pulled alongside us, I sat up in my seat and dropped my pants to show my ass out the window.
Peekaboo, bitch!
Peekaboo!
When I heard his horn blasting repeatedly, I knew he had seen it and sat back down. You know he's got a girl with him, right? Mark said chidingly. Hey, if she's gonna stick around, she had better know how we get down. If she's cool, she'll think it was funny, I replied, lighting up the joint and passing it to Mark. You're not wrong, but maybe we should ease her into it instead of letting her see all the crazy, immature shit that we do at once, came his muffled follow-up as he pulled on the joint. Nah, it's like swimming, I mused. You jump in the deep end and hope you don't drown. We were still laughing about it as we pulled up to the empty field by the road where we all parked our cars before heading into the woods. Rachel and Maddie were already parked there, talking while Maddie smoked a cigarette and leaned against the back of her old Jeep. Jessie smiled and waved to us as we parked, her long brown hair bouncing side to side with each motion of her hand. Maddie looked like the opposite of her, with short blonde hair and no reaction to our arrival. We parked, and Mark popped the trunk to grab the case of cheap beer that he had brought, while I grabbed the high-powered flashlight laying on the floorboard in front of me. Cool, we got a full moon tonight, said Martin, looking up at the sky. I thought you saw the full moon earlier, numbnuts, I joked around, prompting a laugh from him and Mark.
More like a half moon. You looked like you had two pale pancakes where your ass should have been, dude,
came Rachel's voice from the other side of Martin's car as she stepped out. Martin had done well for himself with Rachel. She was a picturesque brunette with bright blue eyes and a warm smile. I held my hands out to either side and turned towards Mark.
Told you, man, I shouted.
So where is this place? Maddie asked, sounding completely unamused.
Just through the woods up there, answered Mark, hefting the case of natural light beer and closing the trunk.
Follow me, I'll show you guys the way, I said, turning on the flashlight.
It took about 20 minutes to make our way through the woods to our destination. We talked while we made the journey, my attention mostly on Jessie.
So, why do you call it Mockingbird Wood?
She asked me. Well, when I first came up here, there were mockingbirds in the trees. I was whistling at it and getting it to mimic me. They're cool birds. They'll even sing at night and stuff. Anyways, it was my first time being in these woods, so I named it Mockingbird because of it. She smiled at me, her eyes moving down a little and then looking back up at my face. I smiled back and opened my mouth to say something, only for Maddie to cut me off.
Were you like a bird watcher or something?
She asked in a harsh tone. No, I just spend a lot of time outside.
Huh, weird.
I silently wished Maddie hadn't come with us and kept pushing further into the woods. After a few minutes, we came to the little river that flowed past the large walks that we used to make our way across. I crossed first to the other bank and shined my flashlight down onto the rocks so the others could make their own way across. After that, we walked uphill until we leveled out and came into a clearing where I had played with the mockingbird all those years ago. Martin and Mark built a little fire where we always did, in a divot of bare earth that we dug out when we built the first one. I silently wondered how many fires we had burned there at this point, and sat on one of the logs we had nearby to start rolling another joint. While I was doing this, Rachel pulled out a little portable speaker and started playing some music, the air filled with Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. Jesse and Maddie sat a little ways away, the crack of their beer cans opening echoing in the trees.
"I like your music,"
said Jesse in a bubbly voice to Rachel.
"Thanks. I get my tastes from my dad." "Can we play some rave music after this?"
Maddie cut in.
"Maybe,"
replied Rachel with an uncomfortable expression. I was more than a little relieved to realize it wasn't just me who didn't care for Maddie.
"Hey, you remember when we camped up here during the snowstorm?" Martin asked me.
"Hell yeah. We made that weird hut thing and packed snow around it so it looked like an igloo,"
I said with a grin.
"Yeah, and then we hotboxed it until we couldn't breathe,"
Mark added, prompting us to laugh hard at the memory.
"Hey, you hear that?"
came Jesse's voice.
"Hear what?"
I asked, straining my ears.
"There's a mockingbird singing," she said excitedly.
Sure enough, I could hear the telltale song of a lone mockingbird looking for a mate somewhere high above us. "It's looking for a mate. They'll go all night long sometimes," I said, smiling at her, basking in the smile she reflected back at me.
"Sounds exhausting,"
chimed Maddie on cue. I got up, pushing down the annoyance I felt.
"I gotta pee real quick. I'll be right back,"
I said, excusing myself. I got up and walked up the trail that ran parallel to the river. Once I was sure I was far enough away, I started doing my business.
"Hey, you hear that?"
I heard Jesse's faint voice drift out a little ways away.
"Jesse?"
I whispered into the darkness around me.
"Over here," she replied a little further up the trail.
I started walking that way, wondering how she had gotten past me without me noticing. I rounded a short bend and peered into the dark woods all around me.
"I'm over here,"
she whispered just behind some bushes. I started pushing my way through the bushes, wishing I had the flashlight to see where I was going.
"What are you doing?"
That was as far as I got before my question turned into a yelp of alarm and I fell 20 feet straight down the rocky riverbank below. I didn't shout or yell as I fell, just made a sudden gasping sound and down I went. I landed on my feet, feeling something pop and pain blossoming up through my ankle and knee in my left leg. That's when I registered what had happened and started yelling.
"Help!"
I heard my voice trill and reverberate off the trees. After a couple of seconds, I heard the crash of footfalls through the overgrown vegetation accompanied by Mark's voice.
"Mason!"
he shouted.
"Down here!"
I was suddenly bathed in the bright beam of a flashlight and was able to see how my leg looked. It was bent awkwardly and already swelling badly.
"Stay there! I'm gonna go get some help!"
he yelled down to me.
"Damn it! I don't have signal out here!"
I heard Martin say.
"You'll have to go back up to the cars. It's the closest place where you're gonna be able to make a call,"
I called up to him.
"Don't worry, Mason. I'm on it,"
Mark reassured me.
"Everyone stay here with Mason. I'll be back as fast as I can with some help."
At this point, I wasn't scared or anything, just in a lot of pain.
I wanted the cry from how bad it hurt, but I was too aware of Jessie somewhere nearby and didn't want her to see me like that. "Someone toss me a beer," I called up to my friends on the ridge. A short second later, a beer landed in the mud next to me. I rinsed it off in the river and cracked it open, eliciting a blast of foam as I did so and took a deep gulp at the carbonated beverage. Thank God. I thought I was going to be sober there for a moment.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I shouted back up the ridge, prompting laughter from everyone up there. Crisis averted. I groaned in pain and rolled onto my back, using my good leg to push me up out of the water till my back was against the dirt wall behind me.
"I'd toss you a joint too, but it'd get wet," came Rachel's voice.
"It's okay, I'm still pretty high," I said in all seriousness. "I even thought I heard Jessie out here earlier. I think I've been smoking too much as it is."
"You must have been stoned. I was with Maddie the whole time,"
Jessie laughed far above me. I sipped on my beer and tried to ignore the throbbing agony of my leg, wondering if I had broken it. I could feel the meat of the swelling so bad that it was making my pant leg tighter. In that moment's silence, the whole woods started to come alive with the chirps of mockingbirds. I thought that I heard someone say something up above, but I couldn't make it out over the sudden canopy of birdsong.
"What?"
I shouted up to them.
"I said, there's a lot of mockingbirds all of a sudden," came Martin's voice.
I stopped and listened as the mating calls lasted a few minutes and died away.
"That was weird,"
I called up to them. There was no answer.
"Guys, you there?"
"Yeah, we're here. Just hang in there. Mark should be back soon."
We waited in silence for a while. After what felt like a pain-filled eternity had passed, I shouted again to make sure they were still there, more to distract myself from the pain than to actually verify their presence.
"Hey, you guys didn't leave, did you?"
"It's a mockingbird," I heard Jessie say.
"It's a bunch of them. Is Mark back yet?"
Nothing.
"Can you hear me?"
"You must have been stoned,"
Jessie laughed.
"Yeah, I must have been, but it's wearing off. Can one of you guys go check to see what's taking Mark so long?"
"Yeah, I'll be back soon,"
Mark answered me, his voice sounding monotone. I figured he must be worried, so I followed up with some reassurance.
"Don't worry, Martin. My flat ass cushioned my fall."
No laughter. They must be getting worried. I pulled my jacket tighter around me as the mud leached the heat from my body. It was a mixed blessing. On one hand, it was making me cooler, but on the other, it was chilling my injured leg and surely helping with the swelling.
"Don't worry, Mason. Mark will be back soon," came Maddie's worried voice.
I was a little surprised to hear her actually being comforting to me, having been convinced that woman lacked any kind of empathy.
"I'm not that worried. You shouldn't be either," I assured her.
"Why do you call it Mockingbird Wood?"
I heard Jessie ask.
I figured she was trying to keep me talking to make sure I wasn't going into shock or something.
I felt a little embarrassed that I was reduced to this state in front of her, but answered her anyways.
"Like I told you earlier, I was playing with the mockingbird when I first came here years ago."
There was a thump in the mud next to me, and I turned to see another beer sticking up halfway out of the mud.
Thanks!
I hollered up to them and took the beer, downing the rest of my open one. The alcohol was helping to ease the pain off a little bit, so I decided another one would be a welcome addition.
Seriously, where's Mark and Martin?
I asked, starting to get nervous.
It's a mockingbird,
said Jesse again.
Why do you keep saying that?
I asked politely, hiding the fact that I was getting frustrated. Before she could answer me, I heard Rachel's voice.
I get my taste from my dad.
I got quiet. Something felt off. I shook my head, wondering if maybe I was just concussed.
Guys, maybe I'm just messed up, but you're acting weird.
Atasi would join too, but it would get wet,
Rachel said in response.
What?
I asked in pure confusion.
Sorry, just trying to think of ways to help,
Rachel continued.
I'm not sure how that helps, I said, feeling a little drunk.
It's a mockingbird,
Jesse said again. I was starting to get creeped out. I pulled out my phone, planning to use the light on it to look around, but it was either damaged or dead.
What's taking Mark and Martin so frickin' long? One of them should be back by now.
Don't worry, Mason,
I heard Mark saying.
Oh, thank God. I was getting worried for a moment there,
I laughed.
Everyone stay here. I'll be back with some help,
he said.
What the fudge, Mark? I thought you already left to go get some help,
I asked.
It's a mockingbird,
Jesse intoned.
What the hell is going on?
I shouted.
It's okay,
came Maddie's voice, making my blood run ice cold. Her voice didn't come from above me. It came from the dark of the opposite riverbank.
Maddie, how did you get down here?
It's a mockingbird,
Jesse's voice answered from the same place. I yelped in pain as I tried to scramble to my feet and failed. There was no physical way Jesse could have gotten down here that fast.
Stay the hell away from me!
Don't worry, Mason,
I heard Mark say.
You're not Mark,
I shouted at the dark patch of woods across from me.
Remember that time we camped here during a snowstorm?
Not Martin asked me.
Yeah, and hotboxed it,
Non-Mark added.
Help! Get away from me!
I shouted, tossing my half-beer can as hard as I could in the direction of the voices. There was a thump in the mud next to me, and another beer can landed.
Stop fucking with me, damn it!
I screamed.
It's a mockingbird!
Not Jesse yelled from across the river. I tried to stand again, my feet trying to function and only succeeding in pushing myself halfway up the dirt wall at my back and sliding back down. The trees above me broke out in a cacophony of mockingbird mating calls again, drowning out every other noise around me. I saw some movement in the shadows across the river and hurled the still unopened can of beer in that direction, hearing it make a heavy clang as it made contact with something. The roar of anger cut through the sound of the birds, which fell silent after.
It's a mockingbird,
I heard it say in Jesse's voice again.
Yeah, I get that. It's a frickin' mockingbird. Help me, anyone!
I shouted out into the empty woods. The minutes seemed to stretch on forever. I wasn't even sure how long I had been down there anymore. I tried to stand for the third time and managed to get my good leg underneath me. However, I didn't really know where I could go. The river was shallow enough that I could wade across it, but God knows I didn't want to be on the other bank with whatever was out there. I certainly could not make it up the sheer cliff behind me. That left only one other option: follow the river. I waded out into the cold water, hearing something stir in the woods on the other side as I moved.
"I'll be back as fast as I can with help,"
came Mark's voice, moving along with me from the shadows across the river.
"It's a mockingbird,"
came Jesse's voice above me again.
"I'm coming back with a gun. How's that for help, you assholes?"
I yelled stupidly into the air, hearing my voice vanishing amongst the uncaring trees. I trudged my way painfully through the water, unable to bend the knee to my left leg. Each painful movement forward made me gasp through my gritted teeth as I moved. In some spots, the river came up to my neck, making me wonder if I was going to have to try to swim with my lame leg dragging me down. Thankfully, it never got any deeper than that. At one point, the mud of the river bottom sucked one of my shoes in so deep that I couldn't free it. It was holding my busted leg in place, which didn't have the strength in it to yank the shoe free, so I slipped it off and kept going.
"Help!"
I heard a new voice say. I froze, realizing I was hearing my own voice repeating back to me. Whatever was stalking me, it was keeping right along with the riverbank, not leaving my side for a second.
"It's a mockingbird,"
came Jesse's voice above me.
"You must have been stoned,"
came Jesse's voice across the river. I didn't respond and kept pushing forward, wondering what I would do when I got to the rocks we had used as a bridge to cross the river. At that point, I'd have to cross to head back to land, and I didn't think I stood much of a chance there with my leg being the way it is.
"It's a mockingbird, mockingbird, mockingbird,"
came not Jesse's voice from the riverbank. I pushed forward again and felt my hand brush one of the large stones in the river. In the moonlight, I could make out the trail on either side of me painting its silvery hues. I leaned back, trying to get my head as close to the water as I could. I reached down, patting my hand along the riverbed until I felt the large edges of the fist-sized stone. As quietly as I could, I lifted it up out of the river and flung it as far away into the river ahead of me as I could. It made a loud splash, and then the entire wood erupted into birdsong again. I could make out something moving quickly towards where the stone had landed, leaving the bank seemingly clear.
"It's a mockingbird,"
I heard further down the river. Realizing I wasn't going to get a better shot, I lifted myself from the water as quietly as I could and started limping towards the entrance of the woods. I did my best to be quiet, but with my legs so badly injured, it was slow going. I gritted my teeth and did my best not to grunt in pain as I hobbled my way along. I had been hobbling for a few minutes when I heard a voice a ways back behind me call out.
"Don't worry, Mason. I'll be as fast as I can,"
came Mark's voice. I started hobbling faster, still trying not to make too much noise.
"It's a mockingbird,"
I heard the fake Jesse say a little bit closer. I started hopping on my good foot, lurching painfully as I willed my body forward despite the pain. The uneven ground threatened to topple me with every movement in the darkness, but I kept going. Finally, I saw a beam of flashlight up ahead and felt a momentary glimmer of hope. That hope vanished when I reached it, though. It was the flashlight, the one Mark had taken with him. It was laying on the forest floor, shining into nothing. I picked it up as I felt something wet land on my neck. I looked up and saw Mark's body, horribly maimed and suspended in the trees above.
His legs and arms were twisted, and his face half torn off. I would have screamed if I wasn't too scared to do so.
"Stay there!"
I heard Mark's voice call out from behind me. It was getting even closer. I thought fast and hurled the flashlight as hard as I could into the woods off to my left. I then resumed my hopping gait, trying like hell to get out of the woods as fast as my ruined leg would allow. Behind me, I heard something big tear into the undergrowth where I had just thrown the flashlight. I'd bought myself a little time, but only a little. I kept going, each movement sending fresh waves of pain radiating throughout my left side. I was almost ready to give up, to just lay down and try to allow whatever this thing was to kill me as fast as possible, when I saw the trees give way to open air.
"It's a mockingbird,"
I heard behind me as I forced my leg to...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keep moving.
"Can we play some rave music after this?"
came Maddie's voice.
"I get my taste from my dad,"
chimed not Rachel.
"I'll be fast,"
came Mark's voice.
"We got a full moon,"
said not Martin.
"Down here,"
said my own voice. I stumbled out into the field and, despite incredible pain, ran to Mark's car. Every step made me scream in agony, which the voices behind me mimicked perfectly. It sounded like the entire crowd was behind me now. I climbed into the driver's seat and closed the door, waiting for whatever it was out there to catch up. It never did. I sat there, shivering and watching the woods unblinkingly. After a long time of sitting there in silence, I heard a voice call out from the darkness of the woods.
"There's a mockingbird singing,"
I heard Jesse's voice say, followed by Maddie's voice saying,
"Sounds exhausting."
Then nothing. I shivered there all night, watching as the sun lazily rose from over the horizon. As the sunrise broke over the land, I saw a lone car winding up the road and jumped out to wave it down. The old man driving it let me use his phone to call the police and then gave me a ride back in the town. Later on, they'd say it was a bear that attacked and killed my friends. Their bodies were found mutilated up in the woods, or what was left of them. They tried to tell me I must have imagined everything, but I know I didn't. Still, I didn't push the issue because I didn't want to end up institutionalized, and I couldn't make things right from inside an asylum. I miss Mark. I miss Martin. I miss Jesse and Rachel. Hell, I even miss that bitch Maddie. Not a day goes by that I haven't thought about them and wondered what the hell really killed them. Maybe that's why I'm here now. I'm parked outside the entrance of Mockingbird Wood. The sun is setting, and I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I have a shotgun filled with slugs sitting on my lap, and I'm sending this off in case I don't come back. When I was at the river, I told those things I was coming back with the gun, and I don't intend to be a liar about it. I hope they remember how I screamed in pain running for the car. I hope they remember how to make that sound again. If they don't, I'm going to remind them. Part 2.
I was sitting in my car outside Mockingbird Wood. The sun was barely starting to set, beginning its slow descent beneath the skyline. I was smoking a joint to calm my nerves, loading shells into the shotgun I had sitting in my lap. Was it a smart idea to get high before entering the woods at night with a firearm? Absolutely not. Was that about to stop me? Absolutely not. Somewhere in that collection of trees and solitude was a monster. A monster that had killed 5 of my friends. I owed it to them to make sure that thing joined them in their eternal sleep. I was terrified, remembering all the things that had happened on that moonlit evening, but the memory of Mark, Martin, Maddie, Rachel, Jesse wouldn't allow me to go back to my life like nothing had happened. The days after the attack were the most frustrating of my life. The police had investigated the incident, tried to tell me that the bodies they had found were the results of a bear attack. I had never seen a bear in my life, but I'm pretty sure if one were attacked by a bear, they would have screamed, panicked, begged for help. There had been none of that. Not a single whimper had come to my ears as I laid at the bottom of that ridge. I wasn't even completely sure of when it had happened, though I believed it was when I heard that first eruption of birdsong flood the night. I tried not to think about it, ending up as unsuccessful as I had every time the thought of my friends dying penetrated my consciousness. It's so difficult to lose someone, but even harder when you know the thing that took that person from you is still running around free to kill again. That's why I was here. It wasn't just to balance the debt the creature had accumulated with me. It was to make sure no one else had to live through this. The sun wasn't even fully down when the moon had made its ghostly appearance in the sky. I stepped out of the car and closed the door behind me, feeling waves of grief and anger washing over me as I hefted the shotgun. It had once been a tool for downing pheasants and ducks, but now it would serve a different purpose. The 12-gauge was fully loaded with slugs, each packing enough of a punch to take a man's head off his shoulders. I wasn't about to take any chances with whatever was out there. I was going to make it into this thing's domain, and only one of us would be walking out. I popped the trunk of the car and retrieved a roll of duct tape and a flashlight. I couldn't afford a tactical light to attach to my old 12-gauge, but as the time-honored saying of every redneck goes, duct tape fixes everything! Well, almost everything. I couldn't fix the loss of my friends. Mark would have laughed at that. He loved dark humor. I flicked on the flashlight, and once again made my way into Mockingbird Wood. The familiar sense of serenity I would feel every time I entered this place of memories didn't reach me that night, but the sense of solitude still hung thick in the air. I would always think of my ancient ancestors, the hunter-gatherers from prehistory that would contend with monsters in the wilderness for survival. On that night, I never felt closer to them. I paused when I passed the place where I had seen Mark's body, stopping to look up into the distant branches above and shuddering at the memory of his twisted limbs and torn skin. He had been my best friend, and knowing that he had been killed so brutally filled me with an anger that I couldn't bury. I had been mostly scared as I entered those woods, but that memory overshadowed my terror and filled me with rage. That rage was muted with a heavy sorrow as the flashlight glistened on the branches above, still slick with blood. For Mark's sake, I wasn't about to back down now. I would flinch every time a stick broke under my feet, or the wind rustled the leaves of the trees. It was fall now, and the woods were covered in the firecracker loud detritus of dry foliage. This was both good and bad for me. It meant I stood a better chance of hearing the beast lurking out there, but also meant it could hear my clumsy footfalls more easily. After all, my ankle still wasn't healed from my fall. That was okay. I wasn't hiding from it this time. I wasn't running either. I made my way over the stones that provided a natural bridge across the river and started up the hill to that little clearing that held so many good memories, as well as the worst one of my life. It had been special to us, a sacred place that represented the friendship we all shared. At some point, there had been a log with three M's carved into it, but it must have long since rotted into nothingness. It felt like there may have been some sort of living metaphor in that, the bits of my friends rotting to nothingness in the cold ground where once had been people I loved. I reassured myself that they would not be rotting alone soon. I stopped once I had reached the center of the clearing, the night fully fallen by now. Stars shined through the treetops, and the full moon painted the surrounding landscape in its sterling light. I hadn't given much thought to any kind of plan when I decided to come out here. I just decided to take a shotgun into the woods and kill this thing, but beyond that, I really didn't have much of an idea of what to do. So, like I had done 100 other times in this place, back when my friends were alive, I gathered some dry wood and placed it in the divot where we had dug into the ground. I used dry grass and leaves as kindling to start the fire and smiled, remembering all the little campfires I had made up here with Mark and Martin. Not even the horror I had experienced that night could erase all the time we had spent here being friends. I don't think anything ever could. Time dragged by, with the only sound being the crackling of the fire and the soft crunch of my own movements over the dead leaves that littered the ground. I was starting to think I wouldn't see anything on this excursion when I heard the sound of something snapping a twig out of the path I'd come from. I slowly reached for my shotgun, bracing it against my shoulder and staring down the dark path in the distance. There was already a shell in the chamber, so I didn't need to give myself away by racking the slide. I almost smiled at the thought of the thing being blown to pieces by a well-placed slug. That smile vanished when I saw the white beam of light come shining up the pass. Instinctively, I tossed the shotgun into a pile of leaves behind me and covered it.
"Hey, what the hell you doing out here?"
came the inquisitive voice of the silhouette behind a beam of light.
"Just doing a little camping. Who are you?"
I shot back. The figure lowered the light, and I could make out the sheriff's uniform. He was a large man, the tan uniform crisp and clean against his bulky frame.
"Marcus Hadley, Sheriff's Department. No one's supposed to be out in these woods. It's dangerous," he said.
"You don't know the half of it," I thought.
"Sorry, I didn't know," I muttered.
The man paused and lifted up the light again for a second before lowering it.
"Hey, I know you. You're Mason. I took your report after the bear attack yesterday. Why the hell would you come back out here?"
"It wasn't a fucking bear attack," I shouted before I could catch myself.
"Listen, I know you're upset, Mason, but you shouldn't be out here. Your friends wouldn't want you to get hurt,"
he said in a sympathetic voice as he walked towards me and took a seat onto the logs next to my meager fire.
"You kids spent a lot of time out here, I'm guessing?"
"We've been coming up here for over a decade," I said, unable to keep the anger from my voice as I ruminated on how useless the police had been when they ignored my account of events and wrote me off as crazy.
10 years is a long time. I'm sorry, kid. That's gotta be pretty hard to go through."
"It wouldn't have been as hard if all you had done your damn jobs instead of trying to make me feel like a lunatic," I spat at him.
"It was a bear, kid. It's horrible. But it was just..."
"I know what I saw, dammit. I was there. I heard them.
Whatever that thing was, it's still out here, I shouted.
Then why the hell are you out here, Mason?
He said coldly. In answer, I brushed the leaves off the shotgun and stood up, not wanting to grab a shotgun in front of the cop. I took a step back and pointed to where it was laying on the ground.
That's why I'm out here, to do your job for you.
He flashed the flashlight over to the gun and stood up.
You have a gun, Mason? That isn't smart. What if you shot some innocent person out here? You said it yourself, that thing sounds like people, right? Sounds like you could make a mistake pretty easily, even if you were right. You know this isn't legal. I could smell the weed on you from here. Being in possession of a weapon while under the influence isn't a light crime either. I couldn't meet his gaze, choosing instead to direct my angry frown at the ground. He was right about too much of it. He was right that it was stupid to get high and run around with the gun. He was right about that I could easily hurt somebody by shooting at human voices in the dark. He was definitely right that none of this was smart. I sighed heavily and sat back down, feeling tears of frustration welling up in my eyes.
Come on, son, let's get you out of here. I'm not gonna arrest you. I know you're going through a hard time. Let's just get you out of these woods and back to your car. I'll carry the gun and give it back to you once you get to your vehicle.
I wanted to refuse, to argue with him and try to stay out here, but I knew he was being logical where I wasn't. Besides, I liked Sheriff Hadley. I remembered the way he had put his arm over my shoulders when I had told him what had happened that night. So, I just sighed and stood back up. I was about to say okay when I heard it. The sound that made up the latticework supporting my nightmares. The whole forest echoed with birdsong. The sheriff looked spooked as he shined his light around the trees, but I felt adrenaline surge through me and went for my shotgun.
Mason, drop it!
I heard Hadley shout over the din. Damn it, you don't understand. That's them. They're here! I screamed, still bent over with my hands on the gun. I didn't hear him draw the pistol, but I could feel the handgun pointed at my back. I was frozen like that, not wanting to get shot, but not wanting to release my only means of self-defense.
Mason, you pick up that gun and I don't care what happened to you. I'm gonna open fire. Now put your hands above your head and step away from the weapon.
Damn it! I grunted through gritted teeth before finally raising my hand slowly and taking a step back. The birdsong was dying down now, the woods growing silent again.
You don't understand. It's here, right now. We could kill it, just trust me.
I yelled out, hearing how insane I sounded even to myself. I turned and looked at Hadley, who had already walked towards me with a pair of handcuffs in his free hand. The other pointed a sidearm at my chest. That's when we both froze, hearing it.
It's a mockingbird!
Jesse's voice called out from somewhere in the shadows.
What the hell?
Said Hadley, still pointing the weapon at me but glancing around.
Sheriff, you need to trust me. We're both going to die out here if you don't. Just trust me,
I said, slowly dropping my arms to my side. Hadley looked unsure, still keeping the gun pointed at my chest. I felt bad for him. I never had intended for someone else to be out here with me when I did this. I was pretty sure this was an elaborate suicide attempt on my part, but I didn't want Hadley to be in danger. Again, I liked the man. And knowing he was actively in harm's way because he had followed me out here filled me with guilt.
Sheriff,
I said after a moment's silence had passed between us.
You should go. You don't need to be out here. It's dangerous, like you said. You should just walk away right now.
This seemed to have the opposite of my intended effect as he looked back towards me and resumed his brisk stride to where I stood.
Hands behind your back, Mason. No more ghost stories, okay?
Just then,
we heard a voice coming from the trail leading up the ridge where I had fallen off last night.
What the hell are you doing out here?
Came the sheriff's voice yards away from where he stood. The sheriff spun and pointed the pistol in the direction the voice had come from.
Who is that?
He shouted, his voice tinged with fear.
Marcus Hadley, Sheriff's Department. Put your hands above your head and step away from the weapon.
The sheriff glanced back at me nervously, and I couldn't help but shrug my shoulders and give him a
"told you so" look. This isn't funny. Come out where I can see you.
Hadley yelled out into the darkness.
Sounds exhausting,
came Maddie's voice behind us from the opposite trail now, prompting Hadley to spin around and point his gun that way.
Sheriff, let me get my gun,
I said as calmly as I could, unable to keep my voice from shaking with fear. For a moment, I thought he had ignored me, but instead, he jerked his chin in the direction of the gun.
Okay, kid. Maybe you were right, or maybe I'm going crazy right now, but I'd feel better knowing that there's more than one gun on our side.
I'll be back as fast as I can with some help,
came Mark's voice from our left.
I get my taste from my dad,
I heard Rachel's voice call from our right.
Where is it coming from, can you tell?
Hissed Hadley as he turned back and forth with his gun pointed outwards.
It was like that last time. It could be hard to tell where they're coming from. It's like they're ventriloquists or something, I told him.
Just then, something big dropped from the trees above us and hit my chest with enough force to send me sprawling to the leaves. I dropped my gun as I toppled over, scrambling to get back to my feet. I looked up just in time to see Hadley bathe the thing in light and got a glimpse at the thing that killed my friends before it evaporated into the shadows again. It was big, taller than a man by a full head. It was a shimmering collection of dark-colored feathers stretching over steely muscles. It was a blur as it ran back into the shadows, only to reappear from another angle and come charging towards where Hadley and I were standing. It sprinted forward and slashed a talon across the sheriff's chest, eliciting a groan from him as he fell to the ground and rolled away.
Don't worry, Mason,
I heard it say in Mark's voice, twisting towards me with its head lowered and beady eyes narrowed. The air was suddenly split with three loud pops as the thing scurried into the darkness amongst the trees. It was Hadley shooting his gun as he laid on the ground. I ran up to him, seeing the crimson stains spreading across his once clean uniform. Even through the shredded fabric, I could make out the ragged tears in the meat of his chest. He groaned in pain as I crouched next to him.
How bad is it?
He asked breathlessly.
You'll be fine. It'll look badass when it scars over,
I said, reassorting to making jokes like I always did when things went to shit. I pulled off my jacket and pressed it down hard on his wound, causing him to cry out.
Ugh, fuck my ass!
Can you walk? I asked him.
Yeah, I think I can if you could help me a little,
he said, his voice tense and betraying his pain.
Okay, we're walking out of here. Come on up,
I told him, pulling his arm over my shoulders and standing him up. He grunted in pain as I jerked him to his feet.
Oh!
And I was pretty sure I caught a glimpse of one of his rib bones shining white through the red flesh. Still, Hadley was tougher than most of the men I've met. He held up his service pistol as I began helping him towards the way out of the woods. We had almost made it out of the clearing when we started hearing whispers in the woods.
That just isn't you.
They seemed to come from everywhere, growing in intensity, until the thing dropped from the trees to block our retreat.
You must have been stoned,
it said in a perfect rendition of Jesse's voice as it charged towards us. Before Hadley could shoot at it, It headbutted him in the chest and sent both of us to the ground, knocking Hadley away from me as we fell. Before either of us could recover, it cocked its head like a bird and suddenly snapped its jaws on the sheriff's leg. I could hear the crunch of bone echo through the forest, like a dry twig snapping under a heel. That's when the trees filled with birdsong again. I could see Hadley open his mouth in what was clearly a scream of agony, but no sound came. Only the birdsong could be heard. The thing released the man's leg and jerked its head back up to look at me with those hollow eyes, almost as if to say, "I haven't forgotten about you."
"It's a mockingbird,"
it said in Jesse's voice again as it dug its talons into the earth and began its advance in my direction. I heard the report of the sheriff's gun, and the thing seemed to flinch, then turned its attention back to the man on the ground. I couldn't see past the bulk of the creature, but I heard Hadley fire three more times. The bird was so loud now that the gunshots were the only thing I could hear over it. I felt fear flood into my body and spun around, running for the trail that led up the ridge. I felt like a coward, leaving Hadley there on the ground to die, but I couldn't stop myself from scrambling away in desperate fear. The birdsong stopped as I was halfway through the clearing, and I could hear the beast shifting its weight in my direction. I kept running, even as I heard it pounding through the dry carpet of dead leaves, getting closer and closer.
"I'm coming back!"
it yelled out in my voice. I made it to the trail, and sprinted hard until I came to the spot where I had fallen off that ridge the night before. The thing was certainly faster than me, but I was more agile, able to turn the corners of the twisting trail faster than it could. It was a gamble, but I crouched inside the bushes where I'd heard Jesse's voice on that fateful night. Even in the dark, I could make out the long drop of the riverbank below me. I heard the thing go rushing past my hiding spot, holding my breath while it did.
"You shouldn't be out here, Mason,"
it said in Hadley's voice as it thundered past. I crept out and started making my way back to the clearing. Maybe the sheriff was still alive and we could still escape this nightmare. I wanted to save him, but I also knew he was my witness, the only one that could confirm that I wasn't crazy. With his help, I could get the whole National Guard out here. We could bring an army to this place and kill that thing. I got to the clearing and could see my little campfire still weakly flickering in the empty space, casting ghostly shadows amongst the trees. By its light, I could make out Hadley lying on his side. His leg was a mass of pulped gore and blood. He wasn't moving, but I had to be sure. I sprinted to his side and turned him onto his back. He let out a long groan of agony as I did so, making me smile when I knew there was still a chance to save him.
Oh yeah. "Get the fuck out of here, Mason,"
he mumbled. "There's no time to argue. We gotta move," I said, trying to pull him up by his arm, making him shout as he turned his ruined leg shifting beneath him.
"Oh, be gentle,"
making him shout as his ruined leg shifted beneath him.
"I'm not going anywhere. I can't move, you dumb kid. Either we could both die out here or you could get away."
I went quiet, feeling despair fall over me like a bucket of ice water. This thing was going to take someone else from me, and I felt powerless to stop it.
"Listen, Mason, you have to get to my truck," Hadley said, forcing the words out through his clenched teeth as he pulled a set of keys from his pocket. "There's a can of gasoline in the back. I want you to burn this frickin' place to the ground. You understand me? Burn it!" I clenched the keys, wanting to thank him for the sacrifice he was making, but knowing there was no time. I stood up, backing away, then turned to run,
only to see this thing dropping back out of the trees.
It's a mockingbird,
it shouted in Jesse's voice. I turned to run, but it was already moving past me, smacking me hard in the chest with one of its wings. I landed on my back, immediately scrambling away from the creature as it bore down on me. With avian speed, it crouched down in preparation to strike, but I heard Hadley's gun split the night air once again, causing the thing to round on him in fury.
It was like this last time,
it said in my voice before shooting forward. I have no doubt that Hadley tried to scream, but the birdsong filled the woods again, and if he did scream, it drowned it out. As it quickly backed down, I heard a sickeningly wet crunch coming from where the thing was crouched over Hadley's form, his legs jerking uselessly as the monster's head bobbed up and down over him. I was still kicking out with my legs, pushing my body backwards and away from it, when it turned towards me, cocking its head in the same bird-like fashion.
I'll be back with help,
it called in Mark's voice as it slowly stalked towards me. I felt my hand brush against something cool to the touch and stopped moving as it loomed above me.
It's a mockingbird,
it said in Jesse's voice.
Fuck you,
I spat back at it.
I'm coming back,
it said in my voice as it started leaning in towards me.
That's right, I told you I was coming back, you fuck. You remember me?
I screamed in anger, ascended with terror. It opened its jaw, preparing to strike. I swung up with the shotgun in the same moment and shoved the barrel into its waiting maw, feeling it smack hard against the roof of its mouth.
It's a mocking...
it started to say, only to be cut off by a thunderous blast that removed the entire top part of its head. Feathers and viscera flew into the air, becoming gory confetti, and blood splattered across my face as the lifeless mass of dead meat slumped forward and fell next to me. I stood up, my heart still pounding in my chest as I fired into it again and again. Two craters appeared in its back, but it didn't react. I stood there, hearing my ragged breath and a ringing in my ears as I stared at the monster that had taken my friends from me. Finally, I let the shotgun drop to my side and turned towards Hadley. He was already gone, a bloody hole torn into his throat and chest. At least I knew the thing that had ended him was done for too. I carried out the sheriff's wishes, dousing the clearing with gas after retrieving the can from his car. I spotted something in the beam of the flashlight as I continued to pour the gasoline. It was a small chunk of wood with three M's carved in it. I thought it had rotted to nothing, but there it was. I bent down and picked it up, using the sheriff's keys to carve a fourth M into it. After all, Marcus Hadley was one of us now. It wasn't much of a memorial, but it was the greatest honor to have bestowed upon the man. I kept pouring the gasoline on different trees as I walked back down the trail, over the stones that we had used to cross the river countless times. I stood back as I emptied the last bit of fuel onto the tree Mark's body was found in and pulled a joint from my shirt pocket. I lit it and inhaled deeply, closing my eyes for a moment and winging a prayer to thanks to God for helping me to survive this night. We had lit so many bonfires in these woods over the 10 years we had been coming to them. I thought it was fitting that I'd be lighting the biggest one yet to send it off. I clenched the joint in my mouth and knelt down, sparking my lighter on the gas-soaked wood of the tree. Smokey the Bear was going to be pretty pissed at me, but I figured it was his fault for letting that monster to be his roommate.
I got back in my car and watched as the fire consumed those woods, the sky glowing orange in the night. I'm worried the police would arrest me for it, but I didn't think it would happen. Apparently, no one was aware I was coming up there that night. Sheriff Hadley's patrol vehicle was found in the field where I had left it, and the police surmised that he had started the fire for whatever reason. I visited the empty grave they had made for him, leaving the piece of wood with the four M's carved into it leaning against the tombstone. I wish I could tell everyone of his bravery as he had helped me face down the monster in the woods, but I know no one would believe me. At least I could tell his story here for what it's worth. I've decided I could put this all behind me now and begin to heal. My friends may still be dead, but at least I know that thing that killed them is dead too. It's a hollow victory, but it's better than nothing. I finally feel like life is an option now that this is all over. At least, I was hoping it was. I was half asleep when I got home and took a nap before posting this. That's when I heard a sound from outside my window. I can't be sure, but I swear it sounded like Jessie. It sounded like she was saying, "It's a mockingbird.